You're here for the lightning talks day one. We are having 10 slots of 5 minutes, in which one slot is empty. We'll start with the Congress radio, and I'll just hand over to Oliver.
Yeah, thanks. Welcome to the first lightning talk on the 22C3. First, I want to know who ever heard about Congress radio. Perhaps you could lift your arms or hands. So that could be a dozen. Very good. Who knows about weblogs? Okay, that's of course more. And who knows about podcasting? Okay, that's almost the same. Very good. So we have the information elite in the room. Very good. So let's talk about Congress radio. What is Congress radio? At the 19th Chaos Communication Congress, we started with a radio project that was pirate radio, of course. We, that is an action group called Radio Campagne, an action group fighting for a 5 euro in the Kasse, bitte.
Yeah.
Radio Campagne is an action group which fights for a free, non-commercial local radio here in Berlin. Most people coming to Berlin expect such a radio station, but in fact there is none. So that's why that's what we are fighting for since, I don't know, 10 years now, and we still don't have a free radio. And at the 20th Congress, we had a temporary radio station, which was called Radio Riff Away on Travel, or in German, Radio Riff auf Reisen. And so we broadcasted on an official legal FM frequency, that was the 104.1. Last year, there was the 21st Chaos Communication Congress. We were invited to a local DJ radio station, which was a pirate station before. Then they went to support the digital audio broadcast from the Deutsche Telekom. And so we had a daily radio show, live radio show. And this year, there is no FM station here in Berlin we can broadcast over, so we decided to start with podcasting, and that's what we are doing now. So you can log on to our podcast RSS feed with your podcatcher software of your favorite. Perhaps you use iTunes, so that would be very easy for you, or you can just visit our website, that's congressradio.de, and download the podcast you like. We have an MP3 version and an OGG version for those of you who don't want to use MP3. And the third possibility to listen to our shows is DECT. So if you have a DECT phone here registered at the POC, there will be perhaps tomorrow, perhaps tonight, a special line. You dial 3131. And you will hear all the podcasts in one row. So that would be the third possibility to listen to. But that's just the one aspect I wanted to talk about. The second and the most important for us is you can join us. You can submit your podcast to us. You can send an MP3 file. You can come to our studio and use our equipment. Or if you have your own equipment, you can, I don't know, give us an MP3 file, or you can call us. We have this phone cast system running. Perhaps you heard of it from the Congress Chaos Radio Express. That is the podcast from the official Chaos Radio. And there's a system called phone cast, and you just call us, and then we get the MP3 file, and we can use it in our podcast. So that would be very cool if you would join us, join our team, and yeah, produce some podcasts, and yeah, could be heard on the whole world. So I think that's it. Yeah. And yeah, thanks.
You got quite quick.
Yeah, we are the fastest.
The next one is Prometheus, who's introducing Hacking for the Revolution.
Hi, my English is not very good, so I will make it in German, and if English speakers are interested in this topic, please ask me later, and I will try to explain you what I tell. Hacking for the Revolution. Das ist die Idee für eine Veranstaltung. Diese Idee ist in Chaos West entstanden. Das ist ein loser Verbund von Chaoten aus Nordrhein-Westfalen. Ja, erstmal zum Titel. Der beschreibt halt eben so den Gedanken hinter dieser Idee. Also Hacking for the Revolution, Hacken als was schaffen, zu handeln, Barrieren überwinden, Einschränkungen umgehen, schnelle bzw. geniale Lösungen finden. Und Revolution als eine radikale Verbesserung der Lage durch eine grundsätzliche Veränderung. Also es ist jetzt bewusst schwammig gehalten. Und als so ein hinkender Vergleich vielleicht so, anstatt eine Firewall auf Windows aufzusetzen, einfach radikal das System austauschen. Ja. Ja, welche Themen sollen bei dieser Veranstaltung behandelt werden? Das ist erstmal offen, es ist halt nur so umrissen, dass es halt soziale oder politische Themen sein sollen, die technische Sachen halt auch betreffen oder halt so typische CCC-Themen halt auch betreffen können. Und auf der anderen Seite halt technische Themen, die halt eben wieder soziale oder politische Themen halt betreffen oder anschneiden. Wir haben da halt die klassischen Beispiele wie freie Software, freie Inhalte, aber auch Sachen wie freie Netze, hier Freifunk ist ja ein Beispiel, freie Kommunikation, ja, Netzaktivismus, ein Beispiel ist da hier dieses Jahr sehr aktiv die Net-Antifa, aber auch umstritten, also so Sachen könnte man halt behandeln, ja, bis hin zu Sachen wie zum Beispiel Hacken für den Informationsgewinn bei Staat, Firmen oder was weiß ich was, ist das sinnvoll und so. Also es ist jetzt kein Aufruf, sondern halt so, das könnte behandelt werden. Die Art dieser Veranstaltung soll folgender sein, nämlich sie soll gemeinschaftlich organisiert sein, sie sollen gemeinsam Austausch bieten in Form von Open Space oder ähnlichen Konzepten, anstatt halt Vorträge sollen halt die Teilnehmer sich gegenseitig auf gleicher Augenhöhe sozusagen austauschen und Ideen entwickeln und Thesen entwerfen oder Sachen machen und Pläne schmieden. Und es soll halt auch keine Trennung geben zwischen Organisation und Gästen oder so, sondern wirklich alle machen was, alle bereiten vor, im Idealfall alle helfen hier und da mit und ja, und niemand hat halt eine andere Stellung oder eine höhere Stellung, ja. Und es soll halt eine offene Planung sein, halt auch im Vorfeld, damit man halt die Themen halt festlegen kann, die halt ja unter den Fingernägeln brennen, die besprochen werden sollen. Und es soll halt auch ein Rahmenprogramm geben, wenn es sich findet, wie halt irgendwelche Kunstaktionen und Party, Konzert und so, also so ein Plüschfaktor, dass halt auch bei der ganzen Sache so Gemütlichkeit dabei ist. Ja, warum ich das jetzt hier vorstelle, ist halt, dass ich mir erhoffe, dass halt diese Idee halt irgendwie bei einigen von euch Interesse weckt und wir uns vielleicht hier auf dem Kongress, wo so viele Leute sind, zusammenfinden können, um halt eben das halt zu brainstormen und so. Also wie gesagt, das ist halt alles offen, was das Einzige, also es steht auch alles zur Disposition, außer dass es halt eben gemeinschaftlich organisiert sein soll, günstig sein soll und irgendwie politisch so, ja. Also der Workshop-Raum A08, das ist da hinten im Hackcenter um die Ecke, ist halt von 21 bis 22 Uhr auch für so ein erstes Brainstorm reserviert. Ich würde mich freuen, wenn halt einige von euch dazukommen würden. Ansonsten ist ja hier vorne direkt von Zeche 23, da sind halt immer Leute und da kann ich auch gerne angesprochen werden oder es finden sich halt auch im Wiki, im Kongress-Wiki unter Hacking for the Revolution, ist auch auf der Lightning-Talk-Seite verlinkt, Informationen, wenn zum Beispiel wir jetzt uns heute Abend treffen und Leute es aber nicht schaffen, dass dann dort aber auch die News drin sind oder vielleicht Treffpunkte die nächsten Tage, vielleicht ergibt sich da ja was, dass dann halt so eine Planung für diese Veranstaltung irgendwie angestoßen werden könnte und ja, ich kann aber natürlich auch jetzt gleich direkt im Anschluss von den Lightning Talks, also um 5 halt nochmal angesprochen werden. Ja, danke.
Yeah. The next will be Python Wireless. Python Wireless is a library implemented in Python to provide low-level information about your Wi-Fi card.
Right. Cool. Yeah, I just want to tell you something about a little spare time project I'm working on, and it's a Pythonic Wi-Fi library. And yeah, as you already introduced, it's a library to access or directly access hardware information from the driver. And well, the motivation behind that project was that calling external programs from Python is error prone, cumbersome, and not really easy. I mean, you have to pass always the output of that program, and that's, in my opinion, really error prone and cumbersome. So I implemented PyWiFi, which is, well, blazingly fast compared to parsing that output from external programs. Should be easy to use for developers. And currently, it is only usable for programs under new Linux, because I'm using system calls directly to the kernel, and that's what is actually behind that library. Kernel programs, it's not easy to figure out to set driver data, so actually implemented is just reading driver data and some small add-ons. I will demonstrate something after that, and writing tests. So I actually don't know what or how to test programs which access driver data. So maybe someone is around and can help me with this. That's a little program which is just copy and pasted in that presentation mode here. So I just import the module and a function, get the actual interface names which support scanning, instantiate the class, and well, just get the information out of what is currently set. This would be, for example, the my currently set or connected access point, the address, and well, RTS whatsoever. So in the currently developing version, there's also implemented scanning. Okay, and beside the library, I also implemented equivalent Python programs to the C programs. I think probably everyone knows the iwconfig programs. So I have their PyIVList, and it supports scanning. So if I start it with my interface name, scanning, it's, well, it supports then scanning the whole area here. So if you guys are interested on hacking on this or want to support me, feel free to come to me and speak with me about this little project. And thanks.
Thank you. As I see this, the next one is the Core Wars project. Okay, fine. You're there?
Ja, ich sprech.
Geht das?
Ja, ich spreche in Deutsch auch. Wir machen auf diesem Jahr, also dieses Jahr auf dem Kongress ein Core War Project. Das ist so eine Art Computerspiel, in der sich zwei verschiedene Programme halt versuchen zu überschreiben, beziehungsweise halt länger zu überleben als das andere Programm. Das Ganze läuft halt in einer virtuellen Maschine ab, die nennt sich MARS, Memory Array Redcode Simulator. Die Programmiersprache für Core War wird Redcode genannt und ist ein eingeschränkter Assembler-Syntax. Wir werden auf jeden Fall dieses Jahr noch, heute Nacht, wird das am Start sein, halt ein Core War-Tournament noch zu machen, und ihr könnt dann praktisch eure Codes auf den FTP-Server von uns hochladen. Die genauen Adressen und so, die findet ihr alle im Wiki und auch an alle anderen Informationen. Vielen Dank.
Das ging jetzt einmal überraschend schnell. Okay, next one will be Berlin and other top-level domains for cities.
Oh,
Hi, my name is Dirk Krzyżanowski, and I'm driving the Dot Berlin project. Today I'm talking about a new internet opportunity, and that means creating top-level domains for regions or especially for cities. But let me first give you a little bit of background. There are existing top-level domains like .com or .net, which signify global commerce, globalization, and global appearance of companies and organizations. And of course, there are national top-level domains like .de, .fr, or even .tv. They stand for nations of some 100 million inhabitants, or even small South Pacific islands with a few thousand inhabitants. But what's about local top-level domains or regional top-level domains, which make up regional or local identity? We think that in almost every country worldwide, people are living, working, and acting locally for the most times of their life. And companies are just doing local business in most cases, not global or even not national business. And even internet traffic is getting more local and local. That means on country basis or on basis of larger regions or cities. What we are going to do at Dot Berlin is creating new namespace and identity for a local community, for citizens, for businesses, for organizations, for everyone in this local community. And what we do at Dot Berlin, especially, you all, I think, know it by the name, we will create the top-level domain name Dot Berlin. And our project is supported by a variety of partners representing the community. That means organizations from economy, from culture, from sports, from the civil society, and from many, many others. Once available, these .dot Berlin domain names will create a long-term advantage for the location of Berlin. They will support Berlin's identity and the city's corporate feeling. And they will for sure strengthen the brand name Berlin and the city image. But not everyone can get a new top-level domain name. I read this in a lot of blogs. Everybody wants to have a domain name, but getting a domain name is a very hard and demanding approval process through the ICANN, and that's the only way to get a top-level domain name you wish to have. We are on this way, and .dot Berlin will probably be available for registration by 2007. If you are interested in our project, please come to me, visit our website, contact us. We would appreciate this a lot. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Okay, now we have how to build your own RFID zapper.
Okay, hello everyone. We're going to do this in English. I hope everybody can understand. If anybody thinks he doesn't, just raise your hand and we'll try to do it in German again. Okay, we tried to build an RFID zapper, which is a tool to switch off or to kill RFID tags. We thought that it is necessary to have something like this or just to have something built in order to have a concept of proof of this. We were surfing the web and there was no ideas for doing something like this. And, well, as you all know, there are some things or the way an RFID tag works, how you can destroy it. We only can destroy passive RFID tags. As you may know, passive RFID tags use energy from an electromagnetic field the reader creates, the RFID reader. So what we thought is maybe we do it like this. We do a local EMP, and though destroy the RFID tag. The easiest way to do this is to put the RFID tag into a microwave oven, but that's a little bit risky since, I mean, if your RFID tag is in a book or it's in clothing, it might just burn up, and that's not good. So we searched for other ways. We tried to figure out how to create a small EMP, and we finally came to the idea that a capacitor. Okay, I don't know the word. In a flash of a camera can be used for that, and we tried to find out ways to do this really cheap, and we finally bought some single-use cameras, and you can just open them, and you take a coil and insert this. What's this photo?
You have to create some room for it, so you take up the film and open up the place where the film was stored. Paper might help you inserting the coil. And some trick, we will put a more detailed construction manual in the net, and there is your coil.
And then you just shortcut the coil with the condensator. The condensator capacitor is about 200 volts, and it has about 200 picofarad, I guess. And we can show it to you. I've got an RFID tag finder. If anyone has some RFID tag, we can destroy them too. Okay, this is just a tag finder. Okay, and I'm gonna take this one. Okay, we've got a coil on the back. We've opened it. We still got a flash in. It's gonna flash. Okay. Oh, it still works. It's not good. I've got another one. I'll try it with this one. This one doesn't have a flash there. Ain't got a battery.
We destroyed several tags with several prototypes, and in the end of it, we ran out of RFID tags to test it. Ironically, these things will soon surround us everywhere, and right now we are out of tags. So we couldn't test the final prototype, which you can see here in its open state.
So when is it ready for industrial production?
I think Fuji would disagree with this. The idea was to create a simple and a quick...
Du hast da drüben ein Mikrofon, du musst dann reinsprechen.
The idea was to find a quick and cheap way to create it, and with a simple construction manual. And this way is the most easiest we could figure out. You take cams, you get them in two for one for only €7 in some drugstores. And it can be done in about an hour if you're used to modifying electrical devices of whatever kind. You only
have okay, here we go. Doesn't work anymore. Does anyone have another tag? This was the last. Anyone got cheap passes or something like that? No. Okay, I guess why it didn't work was we had two ways of using a switch in it. The first one was just to shortcut the condensator with the flash, and that's a little bit like using a really big hammer. And instead, you could use a flash, which is like in some sort of way a transistor. So it's a little bit different, though it didn't work, unfortunately. So, we have the plans on the internet to do this, and you can call us if there are any questions. Has to be a website?
DECT phone number is 7343, and web address will be... events.ccce/congress/2005/wiki/RFID-zapper and English in bracket EN or without EN in brackets, you have the German version. We are going to publish a construction manual very soon, and we're going to do some more tests with the devices so that they work guaranteed, and publish the construction manual in a few days.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for that one. The next will be full lifecycle video editing with free software. Is Mark Washeim already here? Doesn't seem so. Okay, I think then we will listen to Hauke Herten and his kaleidoscopic observer.
So at first, excuse me, because I'm gonna read my lecture from paper because my English is not that solid. Just a moment to connect here. We'll see. Okay.
Hast du denn vielleicht den Ausgang angeschaltet?
Was denn?
Hast du den Ausgang angeschaltet? Kam schon ein Bild?
Ja, also gerade das war die erste Folie, aber jetzt habe ich hier... This is it, yes. I'm sorry. So, hi and welcome again. My name is Hauke Herten, and I want to talk about some net art project of mine called Cosmos. So the spelling is a bit awkward. It's actual Cyrillic spelling, and actually it's an acronym for Kaleidoscopic Observer, Collected Marvels Orchid Computer. Cosmos is about the creation of a synthetic collective gallery of ancestors on the net. I want to explain the concept on the basis of a few terms here. First one, history. So this would be quite easy, as a gallery of ancestors would quite obviously have to deal with history, or say an awareness of historic or somewhat narrative time flow. But to pronounce the synthetic process of reconstruction happening in our brains when we try to remember something, I will alter the term a little bit to historicity, which is derived from the verb to historify, which means to record in or as history. So, next one, illusion. In Greek mythology, illusion is the place for the blessed or paradise, situated at the end of the world. It is here where those chosen by the gods are sent. Now, the thing is, wouldn't it be quite delightful to try creating a metaphor for that on the net, on the verge of open content creation? Things like psych and open psych, which are basically projects about synthetic consciousness, synthetic speech, and of course the semantic web. Say, with the appropriate tools at hand, building blocks for netizens to create amazing things by themselves. What about the picture of them creating input for some sort of basic artificial consciousness? So, okay, next, and already the last part of my talk, I want to show you a couple of ideas for hypothetical user interfaces for such an ancestor gallery, which are either already built or more or less at concept stage. So, first one, an Unreal mod, so a modification to the popular ego shooter Unreal Tournament, consisting of a star-shaped circular structure composed of 15 incarnations of one and the same basic room, each with two old armchairs in them, right and ready for the most inspiring conversations, so hypothetically. This is the structure from the top. So the second one, this is called the Pothead. This is actually a projected one-off prototype device composed of a life-sized hand-carved wooden head. Then the guts of one very small computer and parts of two older MP3 players. And this sums up to a device which would be only navigational through speech and its touch controls. So which would in functionality not be that far away from this, the last one, our ancestors on the phone. And actually, that's it for now, at the moment. So I hope to have generated a bit of interest in that idea, only the idea. And I don't know, feel free to take part. Thanks a lot. See you here. Or at my site, there's actually a blog right now, a blog where interested people could write for themselves and share ideas about the concept. So, thank you.
Okay. Did Mark Washeim arrive? The speaker from Full Life Circle Video Editing with Free Software. So we have to skip that again, and I'm just calling Simon Hegel for the Python Coding Contest. You here? Saw you? Saw? Yeah, okay.
Sorry for that messed up screen design. Some software problem or hardware problem, I don't know. Hello, I'm Simon Hengel, and I'm organizing a Python coding contest for obvious reason. So why a Python coding contest? Well, coding contests are generally much fun, but Python hacking is even more fun. So why not combine those two things? I thought it's a good idea. There was nothing around, at least nothing, no Python coding contest where you can get a prize. And we managed to offer a prize. We will get on that later on. Third idea was to build a kind of counterpart or counterposition to esports. Have you ever heard about esports? Things like Counter-Strike and such, in general, gaming evolving to something like sports. There are professional leagues already. And I thought maybe we can come up with something more sophisticated. So let's do a Python hacking or there is this capture the flag contest. I think even that is more sophisticated. And I started in Wiki a tag called Electronic Sports, and I already tagged three projects going on here with esports. So maybe we can redefine this term. That would be nice. Okay, now a little bit more about my contest. It's already running. There's a website for it. You can see it here, pycontest.net. And yeah, it's a shortest contest. So you have to write the shortest solution in bytes for a given problem. That's a little bit sad because some more Pythonic criteria to do a ranking would be nice, but actually that is really hard to do. So if anybody has good ideas how to achieve that, you may talk to me. There are already some suggestions on the Python mailing list, but I'm not sure if it can be done for future contests. There will be a live ranking available, so there is a web form where you can submit your solutions, and starting from tomorrow, 14 o'clock UTC, and we have to check it for malicious code, then somebody will accept, then a test case will run, and then live ranking will be available. Okay, and there is a prize. So it's called Hacking for a Keyboard. This is because we managed to provide either a Happy Hacking keyboard or a Dust keyboard. So the winner may choose which he prefers. I highly recommend the Happy Hacking keyboard. So think twice. Now we are almost done. There are some pointers. So the webpage of the contest, pycontest.net. Maybe you will have a look there. There is this ongoing discussion about the contest on the Python mailing list with this bridge in the newsnet. So you can check out the discussion. And finally, a lot of thanks to Get Digital. They provide us with a keyboard, so they are the sponsors. So if you need some geek stuff, go there and buy us how. So actually, that was it. if you want to talk with me about that topic, about the contest, or if you just want to get started, I will be in the workshop area after the Lightning talks. Thank you.
So the only remaining speak would be full life circle video editing with free software, but we have a lack of a speaker with that for the moment. Does anyone want to have a spontaneous lightning talk? One slot available very short time. Okay?
Hi, my name is Martin. Obviously, I haven't prepared any slides or anything, but I'm just going to introduce you to an idea that I just implemented. Who of you is using an aggregator or is in some way consuming RSS or Atom feeds? Please raise your hand. Okay, that's about a third of all people. For the rest of you, really, you really should look into this topic. It's a very interesting technology to keep updated on a lot of news resources and websites, and it's really going to be a very large technology. But that's not what I'm what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is I just put online a small service. It's called mailfeed.org. If you're familiar with mailbucket.org, you may know the concept. The problem is maybe you're used to receiving your news and your updates in your aggregator, but there are still a lot of websites who are sending notifications via email. And this mailfeed.org, this website, offers a very simple way of it gives you an email address, which you don't need to register for, and everything, every email sent to this email address, for example, to joe@mailfeed.org, is automatically converted into an RSS feed, which you then can read in your aggregator at mailfeed.org/rss2/joe, or whatever your name is. Look at the site if you're interested. If you're interested in the concept, and maybe you have some suggestions. It's very new, and maybe you have some further ideas or recommendations of how to do this. As I said, it doesn't require any registration. There's no advertising, and I don't plan to introduce any advertising. Thank you. If there are any questions, come to me. Are there any questions? Then you're free to go.
Okay, anybody else who spontaneously wanted to become a speaker? Okay, then I think we're finished, as there's no new speaker.